When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to the 1983 National Football League Draft.
And with the first round pick,
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the
draft.
And with the first round pick,
Dan Marino,
Gruden,
NFL Draft.
And with the first round pick,
Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the
NFL Draft.
Good young players.
The draft's all about
year in and year out.
Welcome back to the
draft.
Welcome back to draft season, Cowboys Nation. Counting down the days, literally, until draft day. We'll be live covering it for the Athletic Football Show. We'll have Dane Brugler, Robert Mays, and Nate Tice there live covering it. So make sure you check that out on YouTube and follow us live as we cover this NFL draft. But we got a very special guest returning to the About Them Cowboys podcast this week. Not only has he been in the draft room for your Dallas Cowboys, but he earned a Super Bowl ring Green Bay Packers for doing what he does best, which is bringing draft opinions to the table. He's my draft dad from back in the glory days of the draft show. Tons of draft memories made already with this dude, and decided to make some more. So please welcome back, from the fan, Brian Broaddus. Hey, Brian.
What's going on there, kid? I mean, hey, every time I hear your voice, I think of those days of you and, you know, the how we used to do the draft show. And the draft show's like now like 11, 12 years old, and just all those great memories and a lot of folks along the way being a part of that. I love being with you guys. I think you guys do a hell of a job there at the Athletic. John, I have the utmost respect for what you guys do, but to be with you guys during the draft, it must be that time of year when we get to visit about this stuff.
Wouldn't quite be Cowboys draft season without you, Brian. And of course, we've got Father John Machota from The Athletic as well. John, you ready for the draft?
I am. I wish they had a little bit higher pick. 26 is going to be a long wait, but
yeah,
no, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so Dane Brugler's Beast is out on The Athletic. Make sure you have that thing downloaded, print it out, do what you got to do to get it in your hands for draft day. But he also went pick by pick, all seven rounds, and drafted this thing. And we're going to go over the Cowboys picks here with Brian Broaddus, see how much they align, because as we know, if you followed Brian for a while, him and Dane have quite a history together scouting players and might have some differing opinions on some of this stuff, though, as well. So I think let's start at the top. Let's save the draft nerd stuff for the end of the show, the later rounds. And let's start at the top here. Dane has selected tight end from Notre Dame, Michael Mayer. What was your reaction to this, John?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I like Michael Mayer. I think he's the best tight end in this class. I'm biased that there's no question he's the player I've seen the most. My younger brother is a big Notre Dame fan. So if I'm not watching Florida State, I watch a lot of Notre Dame, and there isn't a major weakness in his game. I think the biggest thing that I always say when I look at these tight ends is, you know, the kid from Georgia is built like an offensive tackle, but I also don't think the kid from Georgia will ever catch the football as good as Michael Mayer does right now. And then the other part of it is, I really don't think Michael Mayer's had any outstanding quarterback play either since when he's been at Notre Dame. So I don't dislike the pick or anything, and I think that's completely fine. And there's been a lot of breadcrumbs that make you think that that's a real possibility. You know, Stephen Jones was on 105.3 The Fan on Tuesday before we recorded this show, and he was asked an open-end question about the draft, and you know, the first position he talked about was tight end. So I found that interesting. The only thing I will say about that is this is a team that hasn't drafted a tight end in the first round since 97. And this is a head coach who spent 13 years in Green Bay and never drafted a tight end in the first two rounds. So I like the pick. I think it would be a huge help to the offense, but it is a tight end. And so there's part of me that's kind of still like, man, I kind of believe it when I see it, you know?
Yeah. I like the pick as well. And you know, this is where I think the Cowboys are with their draft and the things that they were able to do in the offseason or the trades they were able to make. They're, the whole idea is for them to try and set them up so any player that they take will help them. I don't think there's, you know, there's several picks that you can argue with in the potential for first round, whether it's a tight end, whether it's the guard, whether it's a corner, whether it's a linebacker, an edge, a receiver. You know, there's, I don't think there's any spot at 26 that you would say, well, wow, they just reached on a guy. They didn't need that guy, you know. And I think that's one of the beauties about, John, you mentioned about, you know, the draft and the Cowboys drafting this late, is they really have opened themselves to the ability to take that best player that's on their board. I, you know, me personally, I would be really interested to see if, you know, with Mayer, it, what if it's a Mayer? What if it's Bijan Robinson? What if it's, you know, there's so many things that I think line up to Mayer being the pick. But I think the one wild card here in with Dane, and I know that he already had Robinson going in the draft ahead of the Cowboys. So, you know, I just kind of was like, that's the one thing that I feel like they've set themselves up for whoever they take. I think it's going to be a really good pick. And I agree with you about Mayer. I've seen 210 players. I'm stacking my board right now as we speak to finish that up, to get it onto 105.3 The Fan. Mayer is my 18th best player overall. And if you're picking at 26 and you have an opportunity to grab the 18th best player, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I think the Cowboys would be super happy if he was available. Now you say, let's see if Mike McCarthy will do this. You know, his days in Green Bay, I know from my experience of working with the Packers, Ted Thompson ran those drafts, and Teddy's input from the coach is important, but it wasn't one of those things that was always the most important thing. And I think the coaches were involved. And I think here, I think McCarthy has a little bit more say in what happens with the draft. You know, I think Will McClay and those guys do a really good job of, like Will calls it, the Bermuda Triangle, where he has to deal with the scouts, or actually the Joneses at the top, the scouts at one corner, and then the coaches at the other. But, you know, if Michael Mayer's the pick for the Cowboys, I think that helps them in a lot of really, really good ways.
Let me ask you one question about that tight end position. How do you feel, though, because of the depth at that position, about the possibility of, okay, so let's say Michael Mayer is, let's say he's the, let's say your board is exactly the same as the Cowboys, and he is their 18th best player. But how do you feel about the idea of, yeah, I can take that 18th best player and my number one tight end, or I can take my number four edge rusher and get my number three tight end in the second round, where when I flip it, if I take Mayer right here, because this is, we'll get into all this, but the way that Dane's mock draft fell, and there's a lot of people in the comments when I wrote about it, criticizing it, because after you get Mayer, it's like there's still decent tight ends in the second round, but when you get to the second round, some of the other players aren't necessarily the guys that you maybe love as much, you know, like, because there's just a lot of names that are out there that you're like, man, I hope that guy falls, or I hope that guy falls. Well, in this mock draft, not a lot of those guys fell there, and you're kind of now all of a sudden your late second almost feels like, man, that's almost kind of a guy that you thought would be there in the third. So how do you feel about the depth there of being like, is Mayer that much better than the others to where you're like, no, he's just so much better than what you get in the second round, we got to take him?
I think the argument that you have to have is, and again, I'm just looking at my stack and the way it is, Mayer is number 18, Kincaid from Utah is number 22, Musgrave from Oregon State is 31, Washington from Georgia is 37, and Kraft from South Dakota State is 49. So then, and then at then Laporta from Iowa would be at 60. So
those two right there, hold on those two right there, Kraft and Laporta, I would think that those would be your best chances of one of them, if not both, being there in the second round. So how would you compare Mayer to those two guys?
Okay. Now the thing is, if you could tell me who you're interested in at 26, give me a name.
I'll just roll off some guys that were there when Dane made the Mayer pick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So it was Mozzie Smith, okay. Osiris Torrance, and then Emmanuel Forbes, Will Jalen McDonald, Hyatt. Jalen Hyatt and Quentin Johnston. And that I thought was clearly the best group that was remaining.
Okay. Mayer at 18 on my board. Again, if you're using my board as the Cowboys board, Mayer 18, Hyatt 24, Torrance 30. Who else did you have? Smith,
Will 39. McDonald. Okay.
So who else did you have? I'm sorry.
Sanders. Will McDonald from Iowa State.
Will McDonald was 38. Sanders 28. I'm taking the best player. I'm taking the best player off my board is what I did. That's where I brought up the Bijan Robinson discussion. Somehow if he got through, he's the third best player on my board. You know, and this has been consistent with me throughout the whole. If you follow me on 105.3 The Fan or The Draft Show or any of these platforms, Love of the Star, you follow me on any of these platforms, you know my love for Bijan Robinson. Now, people will say, well, you can't take a running back. Can't take a running back in the first round. You know, this is a pretty deep draft for running backs, too. The tight ends, the running backs, kind of a similar thing. If you grab one early, it probably, you know, you're going to have to focus somewhere else. But if you wait, then, you know, there's some depth. I mean, there will be people who say, well, why don't you, if you don't take Robinson, maybe you can grab Roschon Johnson at 90. You know, that's kind of, you know, how this all works. So every player that you named off Dane's available list, I have Michael Mayer as a better player than every one of those guys that you just said.
Bijan on Dane's mock went 16 to the Commanders. Yeah. The first tight end off the board was Dalton Kincaid to the Chargers at 21. Where do you fall on comparing tight end to wide receiver? Say one of your top wide receivers is on the board, ranked higher than Mayer. Where are you falling?
I feel okay. This is how it would work. Now, we've kind of got word that Quentin Johnston from TCU is not going to be invited to the draft. He's not going to be actually in Kansas City. So this tells me that teams have told the league, listen, this guy we don't think will be a first round guy. They don't want to go through one of those things where all of a sudden the guy's sitting in that room, you know, they're waiting for him to be drafted and he's not going to be drafted. The way I have my board right now, Addison, USC at 15, Smith and Jigba at Ohio State at 17, Johnston from TCU at 20. So I feel like I have three first-round grades for wide receivers. There's people that say, well, Smith and Jigba might be the only first-round wide receiver. I don't personally see that. I feel better, Kent. I feel better about the potential if you said – if one of those wide receivers were there, again, I'd have Addison and Smith and Jigba over Mayer. So if either one of those guys were available and I was looking at wide receiver, those two guys are better on my stack than say what Michael Mayer is right now. So I would take Addison or Smith and Jigba over Mayer if the comparison between the two, if I was just trying to be true to my stack.
So if we're on draft day and JSN and Jordan Addison and Michael Mayer are all three there.
Yeah.
Who are you taking?
Well, all three were there. I would love to take Addison because I feel like that he's my highest rated player on that board. Now, I think there's people that would argue for Smith and Jigba. You know, if you're telling me that all of them are going to be there, Addison, Smith and Jigba, Mayer, Addison, Smith and Jigba and Mayer is how I would have it rated. So the opportunity to grab Addison to me would be better than taking Mayer there at 26. If all of them were available.
I'm glad that you said it that way because that I wanted to ask you about that because one, I think it's almost impossible that all three would be there. There's just not enough depth in this draft for all. So why I'm glad you brought this up is because I believe that multiple teams are going to have their number one receiver is going to be something different. I don't believe that there's going to be a consensus. And
not
so
at all.
Let's say Smith and Jigba's gone and Mayer's gone and you're sitting there and you're like, you're the Cowboys. And let's say their board is exactly yours. And Addison is their top receiver. And you can sit there and go, oh, but wide receiver isn't their biggest need. They should do this. But if he's your top receiver, you have to take him there. That's why they took CeeDee Lamb. Yeah.
They did it with CeeDee Lamb. They see, the one thing the Cowboys has proven to you guys is that they're willing to take the best player on their board. And they've set their team up to, like, Addison can help. Absolutely can help here. You know, so to me, I don't see that as a problem. I don't see that as like, well, geez, why take a wide receiver here? You know, I mean, you have other needs, but no, they really don't, because any one of the players, if they take Addison, they're going to get praise for it. Now, the problem is with this wide receiver crew is there might not be a consistent top receiver in this thing. You know, I mean, there might not be. And, you know, and I've never been a part of a draft where I've had to evaluate more receivers that are under 5'9". You know, I mean, Flowers, Downs, Scott from Cincinnati. You know, it just, the list goes on and on. Mims, you know, is another one of those guys. Dell from Houston. I've never been in a draft or evaluated a draft where we had this many receivers that were slight height, slight weight. You know, it's rare. The Mingos, you know, and the Tillmans and those guys, they're few and far between when you were looking at this, when you're looking at this class. And I think that's where this draft is going to be a problem for some people, to try and figure out where the smaller receiver really fit. Because, you know, and I don't think any team's board on receivers is exactly the same. I just don't think it's the case at all.
What you're saying there about the size is to me why Quentin Johnson is such an appealing prospect, coin flip, right? Because yeah, guys, just his physical size, speed, however you want to put it, just don't come around often.
No, but see, that's what I'm saying. Though people will talk to you, though, Ken, about, well, he's had some drops. Is there concentration? I mean, there's more good plays than there are bad plays with Quentin Johnston from TCU.
I'm just talking more about the physical plays. Ability, the physical.
Yes. Yeah.
He's just a freak.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and the same thing, there are people that have Hyatt potentially as a first round guy. And I'm just looking at him and, you know, and man, they're running plays every 25 seconds. A lot of times he's wide open. He's downfield a lot. I mean, Hendon Hooker is finding him down the field. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about Hyatt. But he's like 104 pounds.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem that you run into. There's no CeeDee Lambs. There's no Chase. There's not my guy up there in Minnesota. Yeah, there's just not. There's just not those guys. So you're in a little bit of a bind right now to try and kind of figure out these guys, these smaller players and where they are. Yeah. Hyatt is, 6 foot, 176 pounds, you know, tall, lean, ability to make huge plays. I mean, there's a lot of positives about that, but he's also 176 pounds. Now you could say that about, well, what about the guy Smith in Philadelphia? Okay. I would rather have Smith than I would Jalen Hyatt, you know? If you're talking about slightly built type players.
Right.
Of all those receivers you talked about, it seems unlikely, but is there any chance any one of them could potentially fall all the way into the back to the Cowboys at 58 in the second round? Or is that just,
yeah, you're talking really about, unlikely? You're talking about the you're talking about the like Diggs kind of
100%,
thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just wild stuff happens.
It, you're right. It absolutely, some crazy things happen. And I kind of feel like that if there was going to be a slider, I mean, if there's going to be a slider, could it be Johnston as the slider? And I know it sounds crazy, all the things we just talked about, but if people say, you know, Addison, Smith and Jigba, Hyatt, Flowers, I mean, I was on with Giants, Giants.com with John Smelk there. And we were talking about, and he was bringing up Flowers at 25. You know, I mean, he's talking about, so I don't know. I don't know who that slider would be. I think if you don't take the receiver in the first, the receiver that you're looking at potentially in the second is probably one of those guys that are the height is challenging for you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't see one of the top guys getting back around to you at 58. I just don't.
One more in the first round. For me, the biggest surprise, biggest realistic surprise the Cowboys could do at 26 would be Zay Flowers. It would really surprise me a lot just because it doesn't seem like something that they would do in the first round. But, you know, he's a 30 visitor. Obviously, they have interest. He's probably not a guy that will follow him in the second. Is there a player in this draft that you think realistically could fall to 26, but at the same time, you know, be kind of like Tyler Smith, where at the end of the day, they pick him and you're just kind of like, wow, I didn't see that coming at all?
I think the guy that you really, I think you need to keep an eye on Darnell Wright from Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
The offensive tackle who potentially could play guard. I think there's two. I think there's two guys that you can keep an eye on. I think if you want to look at one offensively, I mentioned Wright from Tennessee. The next guy I think that we're not probably talking enough about at 26 that might surprise us, and we've mentioned him a little bit, but not like we've talked about some of these others, is Drew Sanders from Arkansas.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I don't love that pick either.
I don't think that's one of those really, really sexy picks, right. But I don't think the Cowboys are going to make a sexy pick at 26.
Yeah.
I think when they talk to us at the end of the night one, they're going to tell you, John Machota, that this player was ranked this on their board, and this is what we liked about him. And you know what? You're not going to disagree with them. You're not going to disagree with them. You're going to go, you know what? That's a good, solid pick that they made.
Brian, if they say that, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, Jerry, go ahead and flip over that card and show us one more time. And then I'm going to have Kent zero in on it. Yes. We're going to break down this board, and it's going to do great on the Athletic. So that's what we're
going to do. Hey, no question. You guys got that figured out. There's some like CIA stuff over there at the Athletic.
You know, Kent's a magician on this stuff.
We don't want to reveal all the processes that went behind that, but there was definitely some method.
But I think that Drew Sanders, again, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, good play guard, and I think the other one is Drew Sanders, who would be that. I'll tell you what I kind of thought. Drew Sanders, I was going to throw in there. I was going to throw McDonald in there too, because I feel like I wonder if Nolan Smith, and then I've seen crazy range on Nolan Smith. I mean, when people would send me these mock drafts very early about like, hey, Broadus, what do you think? And it was always Nolan Smith in the second round. And so I don't think Nolan Smith gets to you at 58, but I wonder at 26 if he got there, what they would do. I wonder what they would do at 26 if he got there. Because I think there's some appreciation. Now, Nolan Smith is the 21st player on my board. I got 20 first round grades, and Nolan Smith's the first player I have in the second round there at 21. I wonder if the Cowboys would, if he was there, would that be a consideration for
them? If we see Dan Quinn on the War Room cam, we know that might be a consideration.
I wonder if they like McDonald more than Nolan Smith. I got some
vibes off that too when, you know, last year at this, well, it was probably a little over a year ago. There was some videos that surfaced of Dan Quinn at that Ole Miss Pro Day, and he was working out Sam Williams. And so then there were some videos last month that surfaced of Dan Quinn at Iowa State, and he was working out the defensive lineman, Will McDonald included. So when I saw that, it kind of made me be like, you know, because I mean, of course, he was at some of the bigger pro days that you see, you know, the Alabamas, Ohio State, stuff like that. But when he was at Iowa State, I'm like, man, that's kind of random. That's kind of interesting.
Well, he did the trip. He did the Iowa swing. He caught McDonald, and then he went over and did at Iowa City, got Van Ness. And, he got Van Ness over there. And, you know, there was they probably got the safety there. They got a corner there. Iowa played really, really, really good defense. They were not. They had the linebacker there too. I'm trying to like, this is what sucks about getting old. You start to forget guys, Campbell, you know, my guy Campbell, the linebacker from Iowa. So
yeah,
Campbell, Merriweather, Van Ness, you know, so they did kind of, caught the whole state of Iowa and all their defensive players and stuff. I'll tell you this, last year from what I learned, with the whole, you mentioned the Sam Williams thing for Jerry Jones. That was one of those things where they were going to take Tolbert. There was some discussion in the room about taking Tolbert at the second round pick and then try and see if they could get Sam Williams in the third. And Jerry Jones stepped up and said, no. We're taking Sam Williams here in the second round.
Yeah.
And Jerry was the one that drove that bus. But that's the respect they have for Dan Quinn. Now, okay, Dan Quinn's had a couple of guys too. You know, he went to Lexington, Kentucky and worked out Kelvin Joseph, Quentin Bohanna, those guys up there. So it is, he's had his good, he's had his bad. So anytime you want to say, oh, Dan Quinn, but Dan Quinn does carry a big stick in that room.
It's so funny you say it because one of the names that immediately comes to my mind also was a 26th overall pick was Tack McKinley, who obviously, yeah. You know, he's Dan Quinn's the coach of the Falcons. He must have liked him a lot. You know, they needed an edge rusher. And obviously he hasn't come close to meeting expectations, but it is funny with what he's done with Jayron Kearse and with Micah Parsons and a few others. When I think of like a Nolan Smith, I'm like, yeah, let's just see what he can do with it
again.
Whereas like I'm not feeling that way about the previous defensive coordinator. I wouldn't have felt like, you can fit this square peg into a round hole. Whereas with Dan Quinn, it's kind of like, all right, you know, because Van Ness is another guy where you're just like, I don't know, how does he fit or whatever, but. But Dan Quinn has showed you he can kind of mix and match. And my thing that I always say is that as great as Tom Brady was, I just always loved how Belichick in that prime of the Patriots, it just seemed like week for week, it was just always somewhat of a defensive tweak where you're just like,
whoa, look what
they did. Like, and Dan Quinn's got a little bit of that too, where you don't know every week to week exactly like, you know, it's not going to be we're lining up like this, deal with it. It's, well, we're going to do something here. We're going to move this around. So because of that, there's really nobody that they can draft on defense that when the first round's over that I would rip the pick. I'd be like, no, let's give him a chance and see what's going to happen here.
That's what I'm saying. That the thing about it too is the when you mentioned I said Van Ness at Iowa. Let me just go on record here. That is the player I have the best chance of one day waking up and going, I'll be on some show when I'm in, you know, 5 years from now. And some will go, who's the guy you missed on the biggest? And I'll tell you, for a long time, Johnny, you'll appreciate this because you're an old Lions fan.
Yep.
Joey Harrington. Yep. Missed on Joey Harrington just clean as day. Lucas Van Ness at Iowa, I have a chance to be really, really, really wrong about it. Because I see him like people talking about him in the top 10. Dane mocked him to Philly at 10 in the Athletic. And I'm like going, heart attack, Bill, here we come, you know. But I have a really, really big chance of being wrong about him. I hope the player does. I hope he makes me look bad. I really do. Because I see it sometimes. I don't see it top 10 all the time. I just don't. And, you know, so I'm just going to go on record. You guys can play this tape back.
We'll play this when the Cowboys select him at 26. That's what we'll do.
If he gets selected at 26, that's going to be, I am going to, that might be the day. That might be the time I walk out. That might be the time I walk out and just say, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
See you in Costa Rica.
You think taking Van Ness would be a bigger surprise than them taking Tyler Smith last year? I just feel like at least every mock draft has Lucas Van Ness in the first round, whereas like Tyler Smith was a guy that really was in that mid second.
I had my third, when the Cowboys were taking guys, I was going through my board and I was saying, you know, third round. I mean, Sam Wood, I had those guys, they had four picks like in the third round, it seemed like with me, none of them in the first or second. And I remember when Kuiper mocked him to Dallas. That,
yeah.
And I go, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like going, so now when Kuiper says stuff about Peter Schrager used to be that for Arizona. Schrager, my man, for the NFL Network, Schrager was friends with Cliff Kingsbury for like 6 years. Every year that Cliff was in Phoenix, he had his pick. I mean, like, Schrager would get the whole mock draft wrong, but he had Arizona's pick right every single time. And so now that he's gone, I'm like, oh no, what's Schrager gonna do? And I wonder if Mel Kiper is the new Peter Schrager for the Cowboys, you know? And because nobody had him mocked. Nobody had him mocked.
You know, it's funny you say that because so like about, I don't know, it was like 3-4 weeks ago, I did this like Q&A with Dane, just kind of, hey, yes, this is what the Cowboys are looking at. What do you think about these players? And I specifically asked him in this Q&A, I was like, all right, Kiper mocked Tyler Smith to him last year. And this year he's got Adebuare from Northwestern. Yeah. What are you talking about this guy? And he's like, I'm going to tell you right now, I do not think he's a first round pick type guy. So if he goes in the first round, whatever. But ever since then, that guy's been on my radar and I never would have paid attention to it. But just because I'm like, all right, maybe Kiper talked to Jerry or somebody who's like, hey, I'll give you a name of a guy that like last year, it was a Tulsa guy. I'll give you a guy from Northwestern we think can play a little D tackle, a little DN. And man, if that was a pick, I would be stunned.
I'm going to connect this. I'm going to try and connect how Kiper might get a pick. Chris Mortensen and Jerry are like best friends.
Absolutely.
And so maybe Mortensen, instead of being the smartest guy in the room.
There you go.
Feeds Kiper a pick. These guys have been working for ESPN for 100 years together. You know, Mel Kiper, I remember sitting in draft rooms before that, like it was in college watching this guy do stuff. And then I got in the actual draft room and I'm like, all right, this guy, by the way, Rick Goslin's the best I've ever been doing this stuff. But anyway, so maybe Jerry tells Mortensen tells Kiper.
Sure.
Kiper posts. But when Kiper did that with Tyler Smith, I'm like, man, you snuck that one right past us all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, pick 58 here. On the board, we've got...
Well, we're doing this mock draft still, huh?
Yeah, on the board still. Let's see who you would pick, Brian.
This show might go 7 hours.
No, we don't want to do them all. On the board here was Cedric Tillman, the wide receiver from Tennessee, Charbonnet, the running back from UCLA, Osiris Torrance,
good player, the guard. Really good player, yeah.
And the Cowboys select Deion Henley, linebacker from Washington State, Brian.
Love this kid. Love Henley. Love him. Love Don Henley from the Eagles, too. He is one of my
one of the greatest Henleys.
Yeah, I'm all about the Henleys. I'll say this. With Henley, you're 6'1", 225 pounds. He went to school initially in Nevada, with University of Nevada. This guy has a real nose for the football. I mean, you start to talk about instincts, recognition. When he sees, he's gone. I mean, he does a great job of attacking the ball. His mission is to be the first guy there every single time. I mean, that's what his deal is. It's like, you know, you see him kind of slipping through the trash, the cracks, the gaps. I mean, he is one of those guys. He wraps up as a tackler. He plays downhill. He's always in a hurry. He's not going to be out of position. He can play in coverage, the movement, the instincts. I like what Dane did here. I really, really like what he did. The guy plays with an edge. He plays with desire. He can pass rush. He attacks the pocket. This guy is a complete linebacker. He doesn't come off the field when you start to talk about it. Now, let me tell you why Dane did this. Because this guy on some people's boards might be a third-round guy. If you try and think you're going to get back around to him in the third round, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. So I see why he made the pick the way he did, because he knows that if Dallas is trying to let this thing get to the third, Henley's not going to be there. So that's why they did it. That's why I think he did it. Yeah.
Yeah. With Charbonnet being out there, I was intrigued about that just because of the fact of he does seem like he would be a good compliment to Tony Pollard. I'm not saying they should draft a guy just because he's a compliment. Stephen Jones did mention at the owners meetings. Yeah. In a perfect world, they'd like to find a back that would be a good mm-hmm. compliment. You know, they need the short yardage, you know, stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I was wondering, let's say they don't, let's say the draft goes like the way it does. In Dane's mock, they don't take a running back with any of the seven picks. How do you think they'd go about addressing running back? Because I just don't see Tony Pollard as being 20, 25 carries. So what do you think they would do about that other, you know, kind of the goal line short yardage?
Was it Jones? Is that what we're going to do here? I mean, I'm going to be honest, guys. I think I've been honest the whole time. I'll be honest here, but I don't know how you walk through this draft for 3 days and not pick a back.
Yeah.
Not with the quality that are on this board. Not, you know, now people say, well, hey, LeBron is, look what Kansas City did last year. I mean, you know, they took Edwards-Helaire in the first, and then they take another guy in the seventh, and he ends up being, you know, a great player and all that. I just don't know how you could go through. Now, this draft is so deep at running back, but I don't know how you just totally avoid it. I think Tony Pollard, Stephen Jones could talk about wanting to get a long-term deal done with Tony Pollard, but I could also see this being a Dalton Schultz situation that, you know, after 1 year of a franchise tag, we're going to look back and say, wow, was it worth it to have Dalton Schultz on the franchise tag for 1 year? You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to say the same thing about Tony Pollard. There's so much unknown about him with the injury and all that coming back. I Britt Brown, guys like that, I really, you know, I appreciate how hard they all work. But there's a lot of unknown right there. And if you told me they're going to go through this entire draft and not take one, I would say that's probably a mistake.
It's funny you say that about Pollard and Dalton Schultz, because I get the same vibe from them. I got the same vibe with both those guys and Byron Jones. You know, there was a lot of talk with Byron Jones, like, yeah, we'd like to give him another contract, whatever. But it's just different when you're talking about CeeDee Lamb and Dak and Micah. Like, those deals will get done. Will you look at them when the deal comes out and go, whoa, I can't believe they're paying that much money? Yeah, you probably will. But those deals will get done. When the Cowboys really want a guy, those deals will get done. It's the guys, like you mentioned, like with Pollard, where you're like, they're saying that, but they're saying that because they would love Tony if he wants to take some real team-friendly type deal thing. And Tony's probably not going to do that. So,
no. You know, Tony appreciates the fact that he got $10 million and signed that thing up.
Right.
Because his next contract might be 3 years and $10 million total, you know. So I just don't know how the Cowboys, I think they get the next back here. I think that whoever they draft, it's Pollard and then whoever that guy is. And then that guy's going to take over when they just let Pollard walk.
Anybody in this class you really like? Obviously, you know, you already talked about Bijan, but anybody you like that you think would be a good fit next to Pollard and then to kind of carry the reins after that?
Well, if I could talk about what, you know, with Dane and him drafting Charbonnet, I think that you're talking about a super productive runner. And this kid transferred from Michigan. He's not going to run away from you. He's not one of those guys, but he can make that initial guy miss and then run through the others. And so it's impressive how he's able to finish some of these runs that he has. Like, you'll see him make a miss and then bam, bam, he'll go through a couple guys and then get into the end zone, though. So I think he's got the vision to see those lanes, keep the legs churning. He'll bounce off guys. I never saw him get knocked back. I saw everything was going forward. he's got really soft hands for a receiver. I mean, he didn't even fight the ball at all when you watch him play. And he can be really tough when you throw him the ball on the move. You know, you get him in the, you get him going wide and they sling him the ball or they throw him a screen. Now we'll see with under the Kellen Moore administration, this team didn't know how to run screens. Let's see if Mike McCarthy can rekindle what he learned in Green Bay and San Francisco and other places about running screens to maybe get these guys involved. But this guy is Zach Charbonneau is, I think he's one of those guys. His time speed's not great, but his playing speed is good enough. And I think that's one of those guys that you'd have to kind of look at right there and say, you know what? I like what I've seen with him. Another guy that might be a little bit later in the draft, I'll try and make it quick on him, is Kenny McIntosh from Georgia. He's 6 foot. He's 204 pounds. He's a weapon as a pass catcher. You can watch games where they put him wide and they run tunnel screens. The LSU, the SEC championship game, they throw him a tunnel screen and he runs in from like 30 yards. He catches the ball well. He's a finisher. He's another guy that kind of bounces off tacklers and he doesn't go down easily. I think he needs to show a little bit better vision at times. I don't think he sees the hole all that well when he gets going, but he does it good enough. When it opens up, he tries to get through it and get going. But the big thing about him is he's going to block as a pass protector on third down. He's going to catch the ball when he has to catch the ball. And then when you want him to run the football, I think he's going to be pretty effective. If they go for a guy a little bit later in the draft, Kenny McIntosh from Georgia would be a guy that I would look at.
All right, round three here. Cowboys select guard Anthony Bradford, Brian, from LSU, your alma mater. What do you think about this guy?
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm a fan, and everybody knows I love LSU. I wear LSU clothing every day, basically. Anytime I talk about LSU people, they're always like, "Oh, Broadus, you're a homer." I admit it, I'm a homer. I love LSU players. I will say this though, I think the Cowboys like this Anthony Bradford. I really, really do. And he's 6'4", he's 332 pounds. He's a massive, massive prospect with power. He's got quickness as a guy. He can, you know, he goes from one block to the next. You see that downfield. I mean, he can single block, but where he really shines is that double team. Like you get him on a double team block. You know, that's some of the things that like, that's where I don't think Terrence Steele gets enough credit with him and Zach Martin, how they're able to double team, get guys secured, and then get somebody up on the second level. So he's one of those guys that just kind of like, you know, he's just so powerful the way he plays. He's not going to get knocked back. I know with Jerry Jones and what he, you know, and this is 14 years of being in that organization. Jerry Jones believes this, and this goes back to really with Tony Romo, you know, the front of the pocket, keep the front of the pocket clean, let a quarterback step up. They can handle the wide stuff. They can handle the wide. If you take care of the center of the pocket, you're going to have a shot to have your quarterback have some success throwing the football. And I think this is where Anthony Bradford steps in again, the size, the athletic ability, and the toughness that he plays with.
So one guy that was still there that kind of intrigued me mm-hmm. was the defensive tackle Dexter out of Florida. I wonder what you're thinking about him, but then also the fact of, because I have no problem with Dane's pick there, because I do think left guard, man, that would be great to have a guy you plug in, here you go. But defensive tackle is another spot where I feel like they're a little weak at. What do you think of Dexter, and what do you think about how important is defensive tackle, do you think, to this roster?
Yeah, I think defensive tackle is important. I think they're kind of trying to figure some things out for sure here at defensive tackle. Me personally, Mozzie Smith, Benton from Wisconsin would be a guy I'd like a little bit better. I have Dexter at 52. When you look at potentially having him as part of your team, Bradford I have at 89. So if you're just going for how my stack would be, Dexter would be over much higher than Bradford is what I would do. But I like, as you can see where I have him, I like Dexter a lot. I think that he's one of those guys when the ball comes right at him, he is really good and just not, you know, I mean, there's a really good chance that he is going to make that play. I kind of feel like he's a little bit better of a straight ahead player than maybe some of the lateral stuff, but he could be super disruptive along the line of scrimmage. You see him, like, he'll play what we call a two-gap nose. And two-gap is when you extend into the blocker and then you peek one gap to your right or your left. You peek, and then you peek back to the other gap, and that's what they call two-gap. And you're looking for the ball. It's kind of a read and then react, kind of a defense they play there at Florida. So, you know, usually with Dan, it's like kind of get up the field. Not as bad as what Rod Marinelli, but, you know, you need a guy inside that can be disruptive and, you know, and control blockers and then does a good job of finishing when he gets in position. So I wouldn't have a problem with Dexter there in the second round. But again, it fits a need. The guard need makes sense as well.
They address defensive tackle, according to Dane, in the fourth round at 129 with the defensive tackle from Oklahoma State, Tyler Lacy. Brian, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's people, when you watch Tyler Lacy play, he plays as an edge. And I think that when you his better position might be to play inside. And he's 6'4", he's 279, and he's got really, really big hands. He's got long arms. He's pretty natural in the way that you see him move and the way he engages. He kind of sees the action, and then boom, he gets rid of his guy, and then he's going to the football right there. So I think there could be a little bit better explosiveness off the ball initially, but, you know, he tends to rush a little high. And when you put him on the edge, like with Bill Parcells, this guy would have been like a, what we call a five technique in and a 3-4. He's got, you know, be 6'4", 6'5", 280, 285 pounds, play head up on the tackle, engage, get off the block, that kind of stuff. But that's why I think he has to play inside, because I don't see that edge, that bend that you see. You know, we were talking about McDonald from Iowa State. There's bend. You know, now McDonald is about 40 pounds lighter than what Lacy is. But, I mean, there's just not a lot in the tool belt with Lacy as that pass rusher. But as a run player, he's pretty good. And that's why I think they would put him at defensive tackle.
So let me then ask you this. Lacy, or now keep in mind that there's no running back that's been drafted at this point by the Cowboys.
Right.
In Dane's mock, three picks later, he has Zach Evans from Ole Miss. Would you rather have Lacy or Evans in that spot?
I would think, let me check my board just to make sure I'm not as high on Lacy as I am Evans. On Evans, I have him at pick 101. On Lacy, I've got him pretty buried down here. I got him down in the sixth round. So I wouldn't, if Lacy was the pick, I wouldn't be too happy about that. But if you told me that they don't have a running back and they drafted Evans, I would be totally, totally on board with that for sure. Some things about Evans that you have to kind of dive in on with some of the things, you know, he transferred from TCU and, you know, I wouldn't call him super elusive, but he gets the job done. I mean, he lowers his shoulder. He delivers a blow. He, you know, he's one of those guys when he locates the hole, he makes the cut, he runs with power. He could be a hard guy to bring down. I thought he had good balance for his running style. There was a snap or two where you see him run and then jump over a defender, and he had some carries where he was able to break some tackles in the open field. I didn't see a lot of pass receptions with him in the games that I watched, but when the balls did go his way, the one or two times he was able to make the play. So I would take Evans, Ole Miss, over Lacy from Oklahoma State if it was me at that particular pick.
Two picks we need to ask you about that Dane made. The first being a nice pick at pick 169 with the kicker, Jake Moody.
Yeah.
What would you think about the Cowboys taking a kicker in this draft?
You know, it's funny. Dane sent me a text about this pick. He sent me the text. And from what I know and what I've heard, from, and these are people that have contact with Bones Fossil, that he's got a plan, I think, for veteran kickers. I think there were two or three guys. I know Robbie Gould's out there. I don't know what the money's going to be for Robbie Gould. We'll see. But I drafting the kicker, I see what Dane did, and he's not wrong. I think the guy from Michigan, and then also the guy from Maryland. There's two that I think are draftable. But I like what he did. I mean, I understand it because it is a need. It's an absolute need. And if you go out and get the best kicker, now they will tell it. Remember last year when the Cowboys were at training camp and they're telling us about Garibay and what he did, and you know, and Cameron Dicker, or, you know, Texas, and he's a better kicker than Dicker, and you know, and all this stuff. And he went out there and he peed down his leg when we got out to Oxnard. So, you know, these college kickers, I think you have to be careful, but I think that Bones has a plan for veteran. So I don't know. I told Dane that, and he still went ahead with the pick. So I think he was looking for a spot with a needy team that needed the best kicker. So I don't blame him for what he did.
It's interesting you say that about Gold, because what is he now? I think he's 40. Yeah, he's 40.
108.
Yeah. I read in a he did an interview back in February about, you know, being final year in San Francisco and all that. And he was talking about being 40 years old. And I think the reporter asked him if he wanted to kick in Chicago, because he had been in Chicago. And he was like, 40 years old. I've been doing this for 18 years. He's like, I kind of don't want to kick outside in the cold anymore. He goes, I kind of want to be somewhere warm. I want to be in a dome. So when he said that, and I read that, I was like, so now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh, that would kind of make sense there, you know?
Yeah, I think, matter of fact, there's a celebrity golf tournament that's in town this week in Dallas that for the Champions Tour and the Seniors Tour. And I think he's one of the celebrities that's playing in the tournament.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he's going to, like, go hit some balls over there at Las Colinas Country Club and then swing on over to the Star, maybe get some kicks in, kind of talk some business. Who knows? Bones Fossil might have this thing all taken care of.
It's funny though, Kent, because, you know, I thought it was interesting too. You know, you said you thought it was a good pick. Like, I'm not opposed to them drafting a kicker either. That's right around the spot.
But didn't he think that he had the guy last year when he made the pick?
Who's that?
Which guy?
With Garibay, when they brought Garibay in.
No, but there's a difference though between when you're actually going to be worthy of spending a pick. And when I think of that, I think of, you know, Evan McPherson, you know, and for Cincinnati, you know, they've played, I think, 7 playoff games in the last 2 years. And I think he might've missed one extra point. He hasn't missed a single field goal. Like, you're the Cowboys. You've been to the playoffs the last 2 years. If you think Jake Moody, who he's kicked outside, he's kicked a lot of big kicks. He had a huge kick against TCU. I think it was like 58 yards, something like that. Yeah. In the playoff game, like, I see the comments underneath, you know, the post, and some people talk about, oh, that's such a waste. That's a waste. It's like, these playoff games are just so important, and so many of them come down to kicks, that if they really feel like this is the guy, I can't ding them on that pick.
Okay, let's circle back, all you folks that are hating what the pick that Dane made. Look at the situation with, if McCarthy's talking about running the football and playing under control and playing defense, and if they're not scoring a whole hell of a lot of points, how are they going to, you know, if the offense, you know, if it's conservative, and I mean, maybe McCarthy's blowing smoke up our rear and he's going to come out and he's going to sling it everywhere. But if he's interested in running the ball and establishing the run and being in a lot of tight games, and he doesn't have a kicker, he deserves to get fired. You know, he deserves to get fired. If he's in a lot of games and they're going to win these games, 24-21 or 21-17 or whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, if they don't have a kicker, you know, and they're playing in a lot of these tight, close games, I'm telling you, and that kicker doesn't work out, that's on him, and he should be run out of town. He better figure that out.
You're talking about a guy that missed 4 field goals in a row or whatever it was in the playoffs, right? And McCarthy's still around, so I don't know.
I mean, he had some tough moments with Mason Crosby in Green Bay and fought through it and stayed loyal to him. And so I think that's why he kind of feels that way. But Jerry is the one that clearly is like, no, we're not even trying to
get with Meyer. That's what I'm
saying. We're going another direction.
he let Bones Fossil bring guys in, you know, and they had to revert back to a guy that, like, let's be honest, guys, when we were out there in Oxnard and they brought back, you know, they brought back our guy, we're all like, what? No, what? What's going Leo, on here? What are we doing here?
Believe it.
Liam Halarahu.
Halarahu, yeah. Couldn't pronounce his name right to save my rear doing the broadcast, but here we are.
Freaking yeah. Brett Maher.
That was bad.
All right, got to ask you about this, Brian.
Okay.
Pick 212.
Mm-hmm.
On the board are four players. Who would you take among these guys? Tyson Badgett, quarterback from Shepherd. Malik Cunningham, quarterback from Louisville. Max Duggan, quarterback from TCU. Or Clayton Tune, quarterback from Houston.
Tune. I'll sing that tune. I can name that tune in one note. I am a fan of Max Duggan. I really, really am. I really appreciate Clayton Tune. To me, is when you go, when, like, the old crusty scout guy that I am, he fits my eye. He fits my eye the way he physically looks, you know. But I'll say this, though. Bryce Young, he fits my eye the way he plays, you know, if you're talking about quarterbacks. But Clayton Tune would be my guy. This guy, and this might be what the NFL is going to. And this might be because of what we saw with Brock Purdy last year in San Francisco. Teams might be going to the guys that are the four-year starters, three-time captain. You know, this guy is one of those players, when you watch him play, he's proven to me watching him play that he can overcome adversity, because Houston gets in games where they can't stop anybody. And he's, like, constantly having to throw and throw and throw. And he's making play. I mean, he's going to get the Dell kid at 5'8 drafted because of how many times he found him with the ball. But this guy, I mean, when you watch him, he sits there in the pocket. He can kind of find where he needs to be, and he delivers it. He's got patience. He's got willingness to kind of look through the progressions, see where he's at. He can scan the field, like I was talking about. He might not always trust his arm for the tight window throws, but, man, I'll tell you what, though, he can throw the receivers open. And that's what I mean. That's where I think that you look at him and the way he plays when you watch him on tape. This, he is the main focus of the offense, and he knows that. I mean, it's all on his back. But when that pocket's clean in front of him, he can make some great throws. But, you know, I mean, when he has to answer the bell, he's good. And I feel like, though, that's kind of the way that he plays. I think teams are going, like I said, the Brock Purdy's, the guys that were four-year starters, were captains, they've got the experience. I mean, there's people that love Richardson, the quarterback from Florida. You can count how many games he's played on your hands. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. So I think there's a, you know, if you're talking about guys later in the draft, you know, Clayton Tune wouldn't be a bad guy to have.
That whole thing interests me because, like, I think Will Greer is a pretty good player, but
yeah,
you go and use one of these picks on a Clayton Tune or Aiden O'Connell or something like that.
Aiden O'Connell is the one, I think. If Aiden O'Connell was, I'm sorry, John, I interrupted you badly. But Aiden O'Connell, I think, is the guy they ultimately want. I think that's the guy that they ultimately – now, people are going to freak out. You're probably going to have to take him a lot earlier than, you know, if you sit there and think, oh, we'll wait till the fourth round, and it probably is not going to happen. You know, if he gets taken the third round, all of a sudden people are going to say, oh, Dak Prescott, oh, okay, what's going on here? It shouldn't be that way. You're just trying to take – you know, the Cowboys lost. The Cowboys were fortunate enough to win games last year with their backup quarterback. You know, Aiden O'Connell is at Purdue is a really good quarterback, thrown for a ton of yards. You know, drafting him is setting it up to, like, hey, if something happens to our guy, we can play with this guy and be just fine. You know, going forward. I mean, even you could sit him. You could sit him and let him learn, and then if. Who knows, if you don't want to pay your quarterback $50 million, you know, then you can maybe just got your guy right there.
Yeah. I just seems like this draft, more than any in a while, they've really seemed like they're interested in doing something at quarterback in the later rounds.
Are you for that, Brian? You think they should take a quarterback take a swing. Oh,
I came from the Green Bay system of Ron Wolf. Yeah, we developed this. Yeah, mm-hmm. this is thought out. One time in our life in Green Bay, we had Brett Favre, Mark Brunell, Ty Detmer, and Kurt Warner. Those were our four quarterbacks in a camp one time. You know, you can't have enough of these guys. I don't care about guys getting their feelings hurt. You know, I do. I'll tell you what gets my feelings hurt is these quarterbacks that aren't taking teams to championships, aren't going to Super Bowls. You can say what you want about Jalen Hurts and he doesn't deserve the money. And at going into the season, I thought that Dak Prescott was a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I said, these two teams are really different. The difference is the quarterback is better. Jalen Hurts in his second season takes them to the Super Bowl. You know what? Let's go. If you're taking me to the Super Bowl and you're taking me to championship games and you're winning the division, I'm for you. You know, and this kid did it in 2 years. Did it in 2 years. You know, so, you know, Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, you know, the league is now starting to figure out, like, we don't have to just pay these quarterbacks $40 million to pay the quarterback. I think in year eight, I think Dak Prescott, and people are going to hate me for this, and please don't, but I think you have to always evaluate your quarterback. I think you always do. You know, because there's going to get a point in time where I just don't want to pay this guy $55 million just to maybe win the division. I need somebody that's going to take me to the Super Bowl, take me to the championship games and stuff like that.
I think with them getting Cooks, and I think they'll add some type of a weapon, whether it be tight end or wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Maybe they get more out of Gallup or Tolbert this year. I do think Dak is going to play better. But to your point, even if the stats look better, the interceptions come down, if they don't have that success in January, you have to evaluate that, because that is ultimately what this roster is built to do.
Hey, he made a great – that game they played in Tampa, amazing. He was outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah. You know, but that's – you know, now you got to go to San Francisco and win that game. You know, now you got to find a way to – you know, you got to get to the next game and then take
And Brian, to be honest with you, with the San Francisco game, it wasn't even about the – all right, put us on your back again. It was don't play awful. Yeah. That's what they needed to win the San Francisco game. Don't play awful, and they advance. Now, who knows what happens in the NFC Championship game? You're going to play against Philadelphia, whatever, but he was the reason they lost the game. That's the reason that you get in there. If he just would have played pretty solid and then the defense gave up some, you know, some BS touchdowns or something, it'd be one thing, but he played so poorly in there that made you like sit there and go like, man, like, how does this happen from week to
and
week?
And people are going to watch this and go like, oh, Broadus, you're killing Dak. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you that he like everybody else in that organization, if they don't have success, they evaluated Kellen Moore. They got rid of Kellen Moore. You know, they moved on from Joe Philbin. They got rid of him. You know, they moved on from Skip Pete. You know, they're moving on from people. The quarterback is no different. The quarterback is – all the players are open to evaluation, you know. And this is an organization where the general manager is not going anywhere, you know. You know, you are not going to get fired if your quarterback is a mess, you know. So I'm just saying this. I appreciate what Dak Prescott's done, the toughness, the ability to come back and all that. I hope that he has the kind of season – where he cuts down the turnovers and he could lead this team to the championship game. Because I think everybody would feel a whole hell of a lot better about it.
That's about the key part right there, though, too, is that when you sit there and say that, people will rip you for saying this or whatever, the people that will rip you will be the people that are just like, but he does everything right and he's such a good dude. And that is, to your point, the reason why we all would like to see him be the guy. We would everyone that covers the team, the biggest, whoever you think is the biggest hater of him or whatever like that, everybody, nobody can say a bad word about this guy. You would love to see him have the ultimate success. But at the end of the day, this is a big money business that you also have to produce, though, on Sundays. Right. And on this team, you're going to have to produce in January. So you can't just sit there and say, hey, he does everything, checks every single box. So we got to just deal with it. No, you still have to be evaluated.
Yeah. Well, what will happen is, Mike McCarthy, Mike McCarthy put him up on the table. He really did. You know, I mean, him, Kellen Moore, probably about the Green Bay game after that loss was like, Here we go. We're going. You're going. If they don't have success, if they do not have success with Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer, then the next person to go will be them. Yeah. And somebody else will come in here and in year nine, try and get Dak Prescott to play at a level where they can go past the divisional round, get into a championship game, and potentially a Super Bowl.
It would not be draft season, Brian, if I didn't find out who your pet cat is. Who's your pet cat of this draft?
Man, that's a great question, because there's so many of these guys that I absolutely, when you watch them, I mean, I'm stacking my board right now. I told you I got 210 players that I'm looking at, and I'm just like, I'm trying to put them in order, but I really, 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 there's a cornerback at Purdue named Trice that I really, really like. And I got to give John Owning a lot of credit for this one, because I did not have this one right. And he was like, no, you need to go look at this guy. You need to go
a lot higher than people. A lot of people.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm like, oh no, here's another guy, Corey Trice from Purdue. He's 6'3". He's 206 pounds. And I admit I was late to the game on this guy, but this guy, he plays what we call the boundary corner. So he's into the sideline. So there's a field corner that plays out, of course, what it's said, the field. And then you got a guy that plays near the boundary. But Corey Trice, I am like super impressed with him. I think he could play press because he's really long. He's a 6'3 guy. He's 206. He could get up on you. He could keep you on the line. I said this about this player. I said, I'm not sure if his anticipation is really good or he's a great guesser. And I mean that in a way, like, I think it's probably his anticipation, because you see him time after time after time after time driving on the ball, knocking the ball down. You know, receivers make mistakes when he's around. You know, the route's short or they drop a ball or something. He plays that way in coverage. And I was like, I'm like, man, when you talk about corners, and I always evaluate the corners, if you listen to me on the draft show or any of my shows, the corners that can play when the ball goes inside and knocks the ball down and doesn't get pass interference. That's what Corey Trice is able. If you said a guy that I would love to see the Cowboys draft at some point in time, and I am a lot higher. I'm sure Owning is really, really is very high on him. But man, I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying, if I had a shot to draft this guy, I would absolutely do it, because I think that he's kind of in that range. And I put him in there with like the guys like Cam Smith and Brents from Kansas State, Cam Smith at South Carolina. Brents is a guy that I see people mocking potentially in the first round. And I think he's more of probably a third round guy. But Trice would be a guy, if they took him, he's my 76th best player on my board. And this was a guy that initially that I really didn't have any kind of a feel on until I got a tip to go watch him play for Purdue.
Love it. Love it. All right. Check out all of these prospects on The Athletic, the entire mock draft from Dane. And, you know, download that beast. Get it ready.
Can I ask something real quick, Kent, I'm going to take 2 minutes. Okay. We went through on 105.3 The Fan and talked about the mock draft that he did. And we did it by the division. And we felt like it was Giants, Dallas, Philly, Commanders. That the order of the drafts that you would say, who would you like? Which draft would you have liked the best? And we just did it on the division is what we did. And we had the discussion myself and, you know, Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk, those guys, and, you know, Gavin Dawson. And we determined that the draft we liked the best was Giants, Cowboys, Philly, and then Commanders was the order that we had it in. So
Giants with Jordan Addison in the first round, John Michael Schmitz, the center, and then Kendre Miller, the running back from TCU, the third.
Yep.
Is that because of Lucas Van Ness going at 10 to Philly? Is that what you didn't like?
The fact that Philly took Van Ness, and like I almost put the Commanders up there because they took Bijan Robinson, is what I did. But I like Dallas's draft. I think Dane did a great job with that. I do like what he did for the Giants, and that's picking right ahead of you. That is a team that's picking right ahead of you. So, you know, I worry about the Giants. I think this division is a whole. I think the Commanders are a quarterback away from being really good. I do. I think they got good skill. They got really good defenders. You know, I mean, this division, if the Commanders could get that quarterback, they might be right up there. I think the Giants are well coached. I like their general manager. They have a good draft. They could turn this thing around. I mean, they turned it around last year with their team.
Brian, I'm telling you, I think there's a lot of people, especially in Dallas, Cowboys fans around the country, around the world. I think that a lot of people are sleeping on this whole Washington sale. This could be really bad for the Cowboys because there's just been so many years where that was a layup. Like, you know, I mean, I saw that Dak was just on the Adam Schefter podcast talking about how, like, yeah, I liked going to Washington because we usually win. There's a lot of Cowboys fans there. That's been run into the ground, but that's something you get the right ownership there. That could spark that thing. And that's the last thing you want in the division.
I tell you what, and people that they remember what we say, they'll pull this up and they'll, you were wrong about the, you know, I do. I, when I look at the Commanders roster, they're a team that always, that player always falls to them. No matter where they're on the draft, that player falls to them. Payne, who, it doesn't matter. You know, the first best defensive tackle in the draft ends up to him at 17. How does that end up?
I think they got Montez Sweat at like 26.
Same way. So to me, I am kind of like, I think this division is going to be good because I think you mentioned about the new ownership potentially there in Washington. And I think they're going to get a real general manager. And I'm nothing against Ron Rivera, but you did the best you could. I'm gonna switch this thing up and I worry about them being good again. I do too.
Because even if I'm saying like long term, even I'm not even talking about them going from being what they are right now to all of a sudden being like a Ravens or Patriots where you're like, well, yeah, that's one of the top 10 organizations. Yeah. And like I'm saying, even if they get to the middle of the pack, they've been so bad in every way. I don't care from, you know, public relations to player acquisition to the dump stadium to just everything, the way everything's run is just so poor that if you're a Cowboys or Eagles or Giants fan, you're just like, keep that guy in ownership. You don't want that to all of a sudden become like the Joe Gibbs Washington team. You know, you want that to stay right where it's at. You don't want that to be, oh, now we got all four teams in division are good. We got like all of them are tough. No, you want them to stay where it's like railings are falling over, you know, pipes are bursting. Yep. No one is sitting in the upper bowl. They're putting up tarps. No, that's what you want. You don't want Magic Johnson coming up there, riling up the fan base. They're getting a new stadium. All of a sudden there's people in charge that know what they're doing. You don't want that.
Yep.
100%. And for all the Cowboys fans who don't want Bijan at 26, just let him go to the Commanders or the Eagles and we'll deal with him twice a year. I would much rather have him with a star on his helmet. All right, Brian, we so appreciate you being here, man. It feels so great to talk draft with you again. And thanks for your time. And for a listener, make sure you're listening to Brian every day on the radio if you're in Dallas and checking out his podcast work and all that stuff. Appreciate and following that. Him on Twitter at Brian Broaddus. Appreciate you being here, man.
Hey, and just not his Cowboy stuff. I'll be driving in the car and this guy will just come off with some, hold on, I just texted Mark Cuban. He says the reason that they did this. I mean, you're not going to get that just anywhere, man. It's good stuff.
Well, that's because Bennett went to school with his daughter.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me on. You guys do a hell of a job as well. And I appreciate when you guys, the guys from the Athletic come on and visit. John, you're a great guest anytime when you come on. People love you. So all love coming your way too as well.
Feeling is mutual. Feeling is mutual, Brian. We appreciate it. And stay tuned next week. For draft week, we'll have one more podcast coming at you before draft day, and then we'll recap it all after that. So make sure you're subscribed to The Athletic and to this podcast. But for John and Brian, I'm Kent. We'll see you next time on About Them Cowboys. Goodbye.